Well, God's already touched us. Amen?
Amen.
All right. You know, God is a God of design. Raise your hand if you believe it. As we are worshiping, I'm like, you know, I'm here by design. You're here by design. You know, when Psalm 131 says, right, all our days were ordained before one of them yet came to be. It was ordained you be here on this day at this time. God has already met us. His kingdom has already come. I laugh. I think God has a big sense of humor. Anything else? Because wait till the sermon comes. I'm like, every song, every theme, as the words were coming forth, I'm like, God, you are so good. So let me just introduce myself. So my husband and I are home missionaries in Newark, New Jersey. We've been there with the Assemblies of God for 20 years. Right now, we're on a little bit of an assignment at Riverside in Jersey City. We're intern pastors there while they do a pastoral search just like you all are doing. So I have you now on my prayer list. So we're filling in over there. We're still live in Newark, and my husband and I have started 3 churches there. We want to start another one in East Orange. So that's what we've been doing. I've been an ordained minister for 18 years myself, but I'm also a school teacher. I just met Evelyn. So I teach at Technology High in Newark. I have 4 great kids. I have 2 in college. One's at Kane, one's at NYU, and I have 2 girls in high school, a senior and a sophomore. They go to Tech where I teach, so we get up and we all go to school and do our thing. I teach English and journalism and work with our teachers to help them become better. But at the heart of it all, in fact, when I was teaching in Kansas, now I'm originally from Wisconsin, so you're going to hear a different speech dialect, but I'm from Wisconsin, born and raised. I was a country girl that God called to the city. I'm from a town of 300 people, way up north by Canada, but I always say that I'm no stoplights, no McDonald's, but God called me to this city. He really made me for the city. So that's just a little bit of bio. I'm so glad to be here today. It was when I was teaching in Kansas 25, 30 years ago that I was teaching pronouns in an 8th grade class. And ladies, you know how we are. We can handle 5 things in our brain at once. You know, our thinking is like this. Men, no offense, your thinking's linear. You're like this. One at a time, you knock it off. But we're like this. We have 5 things. And I kept my lesson going. I was teaching second person. I'm an English teacher. Pronouns, plural, whatnot. And God told me, so too shall you teach and preach my word. So I kept my lesson going, but it's only taught 2 years in Kansas. And then I went back to Missouri, and that's where I met my husband, who's originally from Newark, Belleville. He was a drug addict. God saved him. He's preached here. Tall, thin, skinny guy. If you've ever been here preaching, he's preached here a few times. That's my husband. God delivered him. He put us together, called us back to Newark, and so here we are. I wanted to give you that little bit of bio. But the theme today that I want to preach on today is God first in your life. Is God first in your life. Now, we all, if you're a Yankee fan, we know who you wanted to be first last night. Sorry to bring it up, but it was so apropos, right? But isn't it something in our lives that we have such a drive to be first, right? First to the red light, first in line, all right? We want our teams to be first. My girls play volleyball for Tech. I teach in Newark, right? So is that Shabazz Friday night. So last week they had 4 games. So, you know, I teach all day and I take stats and I'm running crazy, but all good. And so Shabazz won the first game. They played the best of 3 in high school volleyball. They played the best of 3. And so Shabazz won the first one by like 3 points. And then we came back in the second match and won like 25-21. So they had to play 3rd. And so my whole point is, you know, I don't play anything to lose. Anybody else? I'm like, we're putting all this effort and energy. We're here to win this thing, right? But we have such a drive in our lives to be first. And my question to us today, do we have the same drive and the same passion for Christ to be first? Amen. We really got to ask ourselves that. And that's what's going to just drive this message today. Lord, may you be that driving passion in my life. Driving passion in my life. I want us to turn to our first key passage. It's in Matthew 6. Everybody turn to Matthew 6. And let me encourage you, whether you use your phone, a Bible in the chair, if you have your own Bible. You know, I'm a teacher. I've taught for years. I've homeschooled, college, high school, Christian school, public school. I've taught every kind of capacity because I'm a teacher and a preacher. But you know, when you just hear the word, you're only getting half of it. When you see the word and hear the word, you get twice as much. And I'm always telling my kids, I know my boys are in college, they're in their 20s, but I'm like, get on there, because I hate to be so practical, but it's true. We're not practical sometimes with what I call spiritual things. We think they're spiritual, right? And so we don't integrate any practical things to let that spiritual part live larger within us. See? Right? So we have to do those parts. So please follow along. You'll get more of the word. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. Don't you want God to speak? Yeah. That's my prayer. All right, so our main passage today is Matthew 6. All right, we're going to start at verse 25, and we're going to read all the way to 33. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, what your body and what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Now, these are all rhetorical questions, right? And I hear some of you saying, yeah, it is, right? And that's what we should be saying. Yes, it is more. Verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Yes. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Rhetorically, no. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more, it's his third time to say that, clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And here is our key anchor verse, the last one. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Amen? I've known, I got saved when I was about 17. I was in high school. My sister kept bugging me to go to church, and I'd turn over in bed and say, yeah, later, later, later. My mom actually got saved. She was a Catholic in the early 70s. And as Paul and I itinerated to be missionaries in Newark, right, I would, in Kansas, I'd be in Texas, I'd be in Colorado, and then we came out to Jersey. And as we would travel, I would meet so many people in Assembly of God churches and other that got saved in the early 70s. It was called the Charismatic Catholic Movement. So the Holy Spirit was moving a Catholic church. My mom got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, got up, speaking in tongues, didn't know what happened. You know, all she was raised in the Catholic Church. So because of her influence and my sisters, God led me to finally give my life to Christ when I was 17. And this scripture was one of the first scriptures. Somebody either had it on a plaque somewhere in their homes, you know, Bible verse plaques or sheets were there. And I still remember that if I seek first him and his righteousness, then all these things will be given unto me. So we're going to break it down. Today I want to talk about three things. It comes right from this verse. I want to talk about who are you seeking? The power of seeking. How many songs today do we have about seeking? So many. I'm like, God, you are so good about the power of seek. You are my something? No, you are my what? Everything. Let me encourage you, when you worship, I think, when I'm worshiping my mind and listening to the words, I'm thinking of scripture too. Because like, oh yeah, he is supreme, he is greater, he can heal. So even let scripture speak to you through the worship. So we're going to talk about the power of seeking, and then first speaks of the power of priorities. And then he really lines up here. We're supposed to seek two things. Usually we think of the first, but not the second. We're supposed to seek what? His kingdom and, who sees it? Preach with me. His righteousness. Sometimes we want one and we don't want the other. But, you know, I'm an English teacher. Those are called parallel clauses, and they contain equal value. He didn't say but there. He said and. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness. So we're going to take a look first. So if you're taking notes, I still take notes on my phone. Boom, 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 boom. I send them to people. Do you know if you never look at your notes again, you've gotten more? I hardly ever look at my sermon notes again in my phone. But do you know why I still get more? Because I have the process of listening, typing, seeing the word. I've got more of the word in my life. So if you want more of the word, you got to do those practical things. For real, they work. Test it out and try it. You'll have more of the word in your life, okay? Number one, seeking has to do with the desires of our heart. We seek what we desire. Think about it. We seek what we desire, and desires are rooted where? In the heart. So I really want to look at this idea of seeking. So I'm going to challenge us today. What are we really seeking 24/7? Right? We can do it. When we come here, we all came here to seek today, right? We did. That's why we're here, right? But Monday afternoon, right? Tuesday after school when you got to take the kids to soccer. What are we really seeking 24/7? And I want to set up some contrast because this passage really sets up the contrast, right? He says, why are you worrying about what? Food, clothes, right? So he's contrasting worry and faith because later on he says, oh, you have little faith. So my question, what are we seeking? Are you seeking materialism or spiritual truth? You know, my one daughter, that's the senior, she's my little fashion queen. And my younger one who's a sophomore, she's like a little tomboy, so they're very different, right? And so my fashion queen, she's tall like my husband. She's like 5'10", the volleyball, you know, really thin and pretty. She didn't get it from me. But anyway, so she's got this real fashion thing going on. And so I was doing a little Bible reading after dinner last night. I tell you what, our kids are our first disciples. If you're a mom or a dad, our kids are our first disciples. So I'm like, sometimes I start devotions, I'm going to be very honest here, in my family, and then it falls away and life gets busy. But then I start them again. I'll do it a different way. I'm like, oh, they still need the word. And then, you know, life gets busy. And so my kids know this. Oh, mom, we're going to start devotions again. I said, I know. Mommy knows that I still get busy. But you know what? I'm not going to what? Quit trying. Because that's how important the word is for you. If I have to try to do devotions a different way, if I have to do a podcast with you, if I have to Skype with you, if I have to do a voicemail, I'm going to try so you know that's how important the word is. So all that to say, I gave them a preview of the sermon. Hey, here's what mommy's preaching throughout. So we read through this passage, and my one daughter, when we got to the close, you know, she likes to trend a little bit, you know, all this, but she got it. I said, so what's the main idea here? What are you guys getting from the passage? And Grace goes, you know, our priorities got to be right, Mom. I can like clothes, right? But God's got me covered, right? Isn't that what it says? At the end of it, God's got us covered if we seek right, okay? So what are we seeking is the question here. Jeremy Camp song, You Are Worthy of My Praise. Anybody recognize it? I'm not a vocalist. I am an instrumentalist. So I'm not going to sing for you. So I will talk some lyrics here. All right, he has this verse that says in his song, You are worthy of my praise. I will give you worship with all my heart. I will praise you with all my strength. Anybody know the next song? I will seek you all of my days. And so I thought, it's a whole idea of seeking. We're seeking what our hearts desire. So my second question, how does God want us to seek? Now, I have a lot of scriptures here, so do whatever's comfortable for you. Deuteronomy 4:29, how should we seek God? But if you from there, the land you are crossing to possess, you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you search with him with all your heart and all your what? Soul. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. 1 Chronicles 22:19 says this. Now devote your heart and soul, seeking the Lord, begin to build the sanctuary of the Lord your God. He was talking to Solomon. When I was preparing for this, right, I was really surprised because I do a lot of word studies, right? The 1 and 2 Chronicles, these two historical books, when you do a word study on the word seek, a lot, 60, I was like, oh, that's informative. God kept telling his people in the Old Testament, these two books in particular, seek me, you need me. If you don't seek me, you're not going to find me. But if you seek me, I promise you, you will find me. Right? What other thing in the world has that promise, right? If we seek, we'll have that reward. Right? Because God, you know, God flips the script. Come on, right? Right? You know, if it's one way in the world, you know God's got the opposite. That's how he works, and that's why everybody's seeking the world, and God's ways is always contrary. So the word devotion, what does devotion mean? Loyalty. I teach high school kids, right? So I got to roll a little bit with them to keep their attention and keep them going, but I say, he's got to have you covered. He's got all of you. Loyalty is 100%. I have a philosophy, a Christian philosophy, because I work in the secular world. A lot of you do, right? We're in the marketplace. I call it marketplace Christianity. If the world believes in excellence, I believe Christians should be what I call 110% Christians. What do I mean? We should go above excellence, right? We serve Jesus, the King. I'm not going to give him half. I'm not going to give him 80%. I'm not going to give him 100%, right? I'm giving him 110% because he's worth it. How is the world going to know this Christ, this King? We sing about the King, but we got to get this greatness. What? We got to get it out those doors. We got to engage the world with the hope that we have. We really do. And take these risks. Guys, anything you risk for Jesus is never lost. Anything you risk is never lost. He uses seeds and water. So I really want you to think, what are you seeking today? What drives your heart? What are your motives? You know, when you're by yourself, what does your heart really want? And you can't hide it from him. We know that, right? What does your heart really want? So as this is kind of a logical section of the notes. So in our process of what we're seeking and how we're seeking, lack of seeking has consequences. You know, we're not just neutral with Jesus. Hello? We can't just chill. We can't just chill with Jesus. We're either going forward with Christ or what? We are. Think of a plant. Think of anything doesn't just exist. It's either growing or it's deteriorating. Our faith is the same. All right, so we got to ask ourselves. So lack of seeking has come. Here we go to Chronicles. Remember I told you. 1 Chronicles 28:9. This is a great verse. Listen to this or type it in. What do you got to do? And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. Can you guess what's coming? If you don't seek him, what's going to happen? He will forsake you. Anybody watch Monk? Coming old. I'm over 50. I can tell you what it was. Sometimes my kids put on this channel like Monk's like for old people like me. And yesterday there was this little, I was grading some essays and some articles. I had my sermon done and I was going to go back to my sermon. So, but I had it on the background. And so Monk is, this guy has OCD, right? Obsessive compulsive disorder, right? And so his assistant was like, Monk, we're a team here. I have to know you have my back. And he's OCD, right? Germaphobe, everything kind of right. So he got, and so she's like, can never get his attention. And so at the end of this whole cycle, he ends up saving her life, right? And he says, girl, I got your back. I've got you covered. But he had to do his seeking. He had to seek, and then the result came. But we often don't think about that our relationship with Jesus is a two-way street. And that's what she kept telling Monk. Hey, Monk, this is a two-way street here. You got my back, I got your back. And he goes, yeah. But, and so we're like that with God. Sometimes I think we're like Monk. We're so OCD down here. Hello. Life. We're down here operating. God's like, it's a what? It's a two-way street. I need your heart. I need your desire. I need your focus. I need you to seek me. That's what I do. It says it here. This is a beautiful scripture. God searches the heart. He understands the desire and every thought. And then in 2 Chronicles 15:2, the prophet goes out to Asa and talks to him. He wanted to go to battle with Judah and Israel. He goes out there. He says, God is with you when you're with him. But if you're not with God, he's not with you. You know how John, in the Gospel of John, says nobody can take you out of my hand, right? There's this little passage, and a lot of people who believe in eternal security say you can never lose your salvation because there's a scripture that God always has you in the palm of the hand. But can you crawl out? Can you crawl out of, could you leave and choose other than Jesus? We do it all the time. That's called free what? Free will. We have a free will. Otherwise, we'd be puppets on a string. And so we have these choices to make. And so at the end of my little section here, seeking is a choice. Come on, tonight. Seeking, we seek what we want. True? Come on. We spend as much time on Netflix as we want. We shop as much as we want. We do what we want. And that applies to seeking God. We seek God. We have as much Jesus as we want. He's not limiting himself. We have as much of him as we want. So let us encourage you. I want the Holy Spirit. I know he's already speaking. He was speaking through the worship, right? And the beauty, this is your church, you know, I'm just visiting, but I got to tell you this. This is really neat what God is doing here. See what I mean? It's the move of the Spirit. And I'm jumping ahead to my other point here. My other point is about seeking the kingdom. And what kept coming to me in our altar time today was, this is the kingdom of God at work. This is the kingdom at work. I'm getting ahead, but I got to say it now. What did Jesus come to do? He came to preach, to heal, to deliver, to forgive. I know there were people up here repenting. That's what the kingdom is. People would repent and have mercy. And so the kingdom of God is at work here. And so our job as the faithful is what? To get this great hope outside in the marketplace, right? And bring them in. Because once they sit in this presence of God, they'll be changed. Amen. So what are you seeking today? What are you seeking? So if we don't seek, you know, God can forsake us. But let's go, let's flip it around. If we do seek, here are some blessings. Listen to these blessings. Second Chronicles. Hey, remember Chronicles? The book of seeking. Both of them are. 7:14. You all know this. If my people, who are called by what? My name, will humble themselves and what? Pray and seek my face. Sometimes we forget that phrase, right? We know the humble part. We know the pray part. Seek my face. I will what? Hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal. So that's the blessing of seeking. I always tell you, you can turn that around. So put don't seek in there. If you don't seek, will there be forgiveness? No. If you don't seek, will there be healing? Because all throughout Scripture, God responds to passion, risk, devotion, reaching out. He doesn't care about perfection. That's why he's the God of 25 chances, right? He doesn't care about perfection. He cares about seeking. He cares about seeking. So he provides healing, forgiveness. Proverbs 8:17, those who love me will seek me and find me. Listen to Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me if you search for me with all of your heart. Remember 110%, right? You with me? Amen. If you one leave with that. I'm a believer. You know, I teach in the high school. I'm around people all the time. I'm a lead teacher, so God has given me that blessing, that favor. So I work with teachers, right, to help them become better educators, which I love, right? Don't give me a boring classroom, right, where kids aren't learning. I'm like, all right, let me go in there. Hey, you're doing this well. You're doing what? Let's work on this. Let's try this, right? The kids deserve it, right? Education deserves it. They need all that blessing. But I believe wherever we are in our marketplace, I've had so many times and people, these teachers will just ask me questions and I have an opportunity to what? Witness. Love, encourage. Miss V, what's about this? Miss V, what's, you know, and so God, when you just live 110%, you're not hardly going to have to say anything else. They're going to start asking you why you live that way. It really works that way. People are drawn and attracted, not because I'm so great, because Jesus is great. All right? Because you have as much of him as you want. Another scripture when I just got saved, and I love this. This is a silly scripture, but I really like it. It's in Psalm 27:8. It's called talking to yourself. Psalm 27:8. My heart says of you, seek his face. So my heart tells me, seek his face. And then David turns around and says, yes, I will seek his face. So seeking is a choice. You know, King Josiah, one of my sons is Josiah, by the way, so I have to tell you this. My oldest son is Micah. He got a prophet covered. Then we have Josiah, a king covered. Guess what my daughters are named? You'll never guess. Go to the New Testament. Grace. Close. No, Grace and Faith. So we have a Micah and a Josiah, and then we have a Grace and a Faith. And then we thought, hey, we have so much faith, we're done. Okay, so we have four kids here. You know, and so Josiah, King Josiah, we chose his name. Here's where I'm going with my illustration. You should really read the life of King Josiah. He chose to seek. He chose. So let me just give you the big, I'm going to talk it out, but I want to give you the passages for later, okay? 2 Kings 22 and 2 Chronicles 34. Josiah became king when he was 8 years old. He was a boy king. So, you know, all his leaders ran the kingdom, right? So then he became 12 and 14, and it says in 16, he began to seek, 16. Think of teenagers nowadays, 16. King already for 8 years. It says he began to seek the Lord, 16 years old, running the kingdom. And then when he became 20 years old, and when you go into these two passages, right, he begins to purge the land of all the idols, and his dad wasn't saved, neither was his granddad when you read it. Josiah's dad and granddad were wicked. Is there hope for us? Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter. God wants you. You respond. You seek. You got him. And so he's 20. He begins to clear the land. And then they go into the temple. And one of his guys, his scribes, finds the book of the law. It had been buried, hadn't been living by the book of the law. They find his secretary finds the book of the law. He says, King Josiah, we found the law. Just King Josiah, what? Tears open his robes, get the king, in front of everybody, tears over, gets down on his knees. He says, we have not been living by this covenant. They start to read, that's a restoration of the word, a restoration of the law. But guess where it all started? Josiah sought the Lord. And it even technically says, young people, it says in the days of his youth. But we older people, it's never too late, what? To start seeking. It's never too late. I hope today's a new day of seeking for you. You know, till Jesus comes, right? I don't care. I'm 51. Like, when I'm 6, I still want to be seeking. God, what do you have for us on this earth? I think it was my sister Yadira, right? One of your prayers, one of your great prayer. So one of her prayers somewhere was like, I'm a believer in purpose and design. We are, every one of you are here by design, all right? So that we would become seekers today. Before we move on to my next point, have you ever thought about what God seeks? So we know we need to seek him, right? But what does God seek? I had to explore that. So I want to just look at this with you. There's four things I found in scripture when I flipped that a little bit. I said, okay, I know what I'm supposed to be a seeker of. What does God seek? Number one. 2 Chronicles 16:9. God seeks hearts that are fully devoted to him. In fact, that came to me when we were praying at the altar here, there was a couple people, and I don't know your name, so that's good. But here's what God was saying. There's some marriages in here, and the word for you is God wants to restore your devotion to each other. That you're actually committed to each other, but not devoted. Does that make sense? Devotion is another step, a higher, you know, I'm going to stay in the marriage, but devotion is the 110%. And I believe God wants to do that. And that's a picture of, you know, that marriage covenant, right? It's a picture of the bride and us. So God wants a fully devoted heart. What's the second thing God is seeking? Godly offspring. Listen to this Malachi 2:15 passage. Has not the one God made you? You belong to him in body and spirit. What does the one God seek? Remember, this is what God seeks now. What does he seek? Godly offspring. So we're his children. And look what he follows up with, though. So be on your guard and do not forsake the wife of your youth. So even God got that and said, don't be unfaithful to your wife. So God is seeking that devotion to him, but he's saying, stay devoted in that marriage realm. I really believe there's the enemy kind of has a target on marriages. I really do. I believe this. I've experienced it personally. I've, you know, visited with people that are saved and people not saved, by the way, too. Not just in the church. People marry those, and I'm like, I can see it. And so God makes a way and pray. And in your own marriage, ask God, Lord, restore our devotion. And that starts with forgiveness and repentance, guys, and healing, laying that out. God wants that because it strengthens so many things. The next thing God is seeking is a loss, right? Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to what? Seek and save that which is lost. And finally, John 4, the Lord is seeking what? True worshipers. That's that section where he says, we shall worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. For such worshipers, God seeks to worship him. So the question begs, are you seeking what God is seeking? See? Are you seeking what God is seeking? And if when we have alignment, we have power, we have authority, we make a difference in this world. We are aligned and seek what God seeks. Can you get that? So what did God seek? What's one of the things? A devoted heart, godly offspring. What else? Got a page with me here. It's like my kids. Somebody said it. Worst true worshiper, and he's seeking the lost. Guys, when we are seekers of the one true God, we will have power. And that deals with our heart. So that's seeking. So we have altar time today, right? Say, God, am I that 110% seeker? Do I need to change my heart? Change my heart so I'm a seeker of you. All right, the second big point in this passage is that we need to seek what? First, the kingdom of God. And seek, not second, hello, not third. We need to seek first. So this has to do with our priorities. Seeking has to do with our heart. First has to do with priorities. All right? What are our priorities? So let me ask you a few questions here. What has your attention? What do you spend your energy on, your strength? Where do you spend your money? Wherever these lie, there are our priorities. It does not matter what we say. We live our priorities. So in teaching, we have a philosophy that says we teach our values. So they do some values education so that we're valuing the right thing. So in my class, I'm real big on vocab, right? I think kids need to build vocabulary because then they can understand text. So I'm real intentional. I use big words intentionally. You know, I do all these little fun things. So, but if I believe in the value of vocabulary, I have to do something about it. So all my lessons do that. Another thing I value is strong writing. I'm a writer myself, but I love to teach kids to take the mystery out of writing. So if I believe that's a value of mine, I teach them what? Strong writing skills. How to write introductions, how to cite text, you know, how to do all that. Because we live what we value. Are you making the transfer? We live what we value. Somebody can look at your life and tell you what you value. Somebody can look at my life without me and just be around me a little bit. They should know what I what? Know what I value. It's not what we say we value. It's what we live that we value. So are you seeking him first above all else, above all things? So if I value my children, I can't just say that. Who would you ask, by the way? Your kids, when mom's not around, right? Yeah, was your mom around much? Your dad, what's up with that, right? You know, you'd ask, if I value them, I invest in them, I spend time with them, I keep trying to do devotions with them. You know, I really believe God gave me that a couple years ago, probably 10 or 12, that our children are our first disciples. You know, because Paul and I have been in ministry so much, right? And I can build disciples all around, but what's up with my kiddos here? All right, so they're my first disciples while I'm discipling other people, all right? So if I value marriage, how am I going to treat my husband? Right? We text a little bit. I'm going to speak well of him all the time, right? Even if we're dealing with something, come on, marriages. Even if we're dealing with something with our spouse, we're dealing with something. We all deal with little things, right? Still speak well, communicate. So whatever we value is what we live. And let's get to the word. If we value this living, breathing document, we will do what? Da-na-na-na. I whistle in my classroom. I could go on and all that. We will read this. It'll be part of our lives. It'll be what we really digest. If we don't value it, we don't read it. I could have brought you a whole bunch of stats, but I did a seminar a couple months ago do a lot of teaching. But I was doing some research on the stats. Do you know, Christians now, us in the church, biblical literacy is very low. I'm serious, like 32% read the Bible just once in a while. I think people who read the Bible every day was like 16%. I mean, it's 16%. And so my challenge to you, I'm very practical. I like to be practical with spiritual, right? Have you ever timed yourself how long it takes to read one chapter in the Bible? Ever? I'm for real. Young and old alike, I want you to try this. Because the devil lies to us and says, we don't have time, but we have time for Netflix. We don't have time, we have time for other things. You can read a whole chapter. A pretty good, I'm not talking about crazy, not like Psalm 119 or anything, but a regular chapter in 10 minutes and really get something out of it. And then just think if you prayed for 5 minutes. I'm not saying an hour. Just think, and how many minutes is that altogether? 15. Read for 10 a chapter. Lord, what are you saying to me? Is this your word? Just 5 minutes. Just pray. That's only 15 minutes of our day. How doable is that, right? I'm an old jock. I used to work out all the time, right? So when you work out consistently, you're building what? Strength, stamina, muscle mass. What happens when you stop working out? I can tell you, right? You lose strength, lose stamina, muscle, whoop. You know, I'm starting to walk again, my kids are older now and I can start, but I can't run anymore, so I'm walking. And boy, when I get out of my walking routine, I can feel it. So whatever we invest in builds strength. Whatever we invest in builds faith. Comprende? I think that's what we need to do to build our spirituality is make it practical. You with me? We got to make it practical, especially for our young people and young adults too. You with me? Oh, there's old people for church. There's a mindset out there. Y'all know that, right? That church is for old people, right? And so God wants to, and I can even see this assembly building the relevancy, right? You don't change your truth, your message, right? But we got to interact. We got to let, we have this hope, we have this message, amen? So what do you do first, all right? I want to go to another key passage. Pastor, leaders, elders, what time should I end? I'm probably past due, right? All right, I'll keep going. Let's go to Colossians, please. Go to Colossians. Colossians 1. When's the last time you're in Colossians? That's rhetorical. Colossians 1. Let's start at verse 12 through 20. Colossians 1. So, we must seek him first. This is probably the supreme passage in the New Testament talking about the supremacy of God. And when I thought about the word first, right, I thought about that one word, the supremacy of God. And a couple songs we sang, you know, Our God is Greater songs, Our God is Above. Theologically, you know, that's called preeminence. He is before, he's uncreated. He's God created time, he's outside of time. He always has been, always will be. Are you with me? So when we sing that stuff, it's good to know. It is biblical, all right? So let's read this passage. Colossians 1, starting verse 12. The Apostle Paul. And giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified, I like that word, he's qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Has anybody else been rescued but me? I've been rescued from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Remember, that's kingdom talk. The kingdom is about redemption. The kingdom is about forgiveness. Verse 13. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven, things on earth, things visible, invisible, whether thrones, powers, rulers, or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the church, the body. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that, we call that an adverbial clause, that everything that goes on before it is for this reason. So, why? Why all this? So that he might have supremacy in everything in our lives. For God was so pleased to have the fullness dwell in him, Christ, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood on the cross. Does he have first place? Can you tell I'm a competitor? I bet you can't. Boy, you should be at a game night at my house. Anybody have game night at your house? You know, I have two college kids and two high school kids, but we always had family night, game night, yada, yada. Boy, and the competition has really ramped up. You know, it's like, I have to play spades, but I got to make sure I'm on my husband's team. Anybody know why? Because he and I are like cutthroat. We are so competitive. I'm like, honey, we got to play together. I have to play against you, okay? But take these real practical things in life. And we should have that same passion, right? That same drive for the kingdom of God and for our Christ. Amen? Anybody read The Word for Today by Bob Gass? It's a little devotional. Everybody ever see it? It's this really thin, thin devotional. When we came to Newark like 20 years ago, I'd been reading it, I think, in Kansas or something. It's a great devotional, by the way. You know why I like him? He's British, so he's English, but he works in the States and publishes in the States. But he makes the spiritual practical. I've really liked this. Let me encourage you. One thing, so one of his devotionals about a month ago said the 7 steps to success in life, which is really great, by the way, right? This is a real good tool to use for unsaved people. I've given this devotional to a lot of people that aren't saved, whether they're academics or just in the business world, right? Because it's non-threatening. And it doesn't always speak spiritual jargon, okay? And he says, the first step to success in life, and who doesn't want to be successful, right, is put God first. Put God first. And isn't this the scripture? Seek the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And so God convicted me. I'm getting toward the end here. I want to talk about kingdom. We're going to go. I call myself a bookie. I don't bet. I don't gamble. I'm a bookie. Anybody know what it is? I read all the time. In my free time, I read. I'm a bookie. I read my Kindle, I read here, I read my phone, I'll grab a book, I take a book, boring meetings, don't give me a boring meeting, don't tell anybody, don't tell my advisor. I take books with me so I can read if there's, you know, if something's not productive, I'll read my Bible, I'll read this, I've got to be a reader. Readers are leaders, I tell my kids. Why? Because they know more than everybody else. Why? Because they're reading all the time. Nobody would follow an ignorant person, or at least we shouldn't, right? So I tell it, and so God convicted me. I'm going to tell you this. He convicted me a while ago. He told me, word first. Word. Now, you guys, if you're in high school, if you're out of high school, the kids always say word. It's slang, right? That's something they go with. They say word, you know? But so I play on that with them, right? I look at these young people like, no, she didn't do it right. But word first. So instead of reading all these things we read or watch the news, what should we turn to? Word first. We kind of need a revival of the word. You with me? A revival, a renewal of it. 15 minutes a day. Start there. And then pass that message on to young, any teenager. That makes sense to them, doesn't it? Even somebody who's in fifth grade. Oh, that may, I could do 15 minutes. And by doing that, you're making it supreme and making it first in our lives. So I know it's late, so I just want to end with the part of the scripture that says, but seek first his kingdom. All right? So all Matthew wrote to a Jewish audience, right? All of Matthew is about the kingdom. It really is. It's about seeking the kingdom of God. And so I'm just going to go to this one chunk of my notes. I want to go to what really, so when you go through Matthew 4, 5, 6, and you can go up to 16, and the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a buried field. The kingdom of heaven is like a pearl of great price. The rich man asked Jesus, how can I enter the kingdom of heaven? And then he tells them the parable, and then he says, right, go sell all you have. You're right, and it should be good to you. It's not by your works. So all Jesus, even the Beatitudes, the first Beatitude is what? Blessed are those. The kingdom of God. I don't want to misquote it, so I want to go back. Six. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So all this is about, so then I ask myself, because you know I'm practical, right? Okay, God, what does the kingdom look like for us right now? 2017. What does it look like to be a kingdom seeker? And I hope you, that's how I tackle the word. Y'all need to tackle the word that way to make it relevant, right? And it was what I saw at the altar today. Jesus said, I came to preach and teach. I came to preach the kingdom, he says. Jesus says all throughout Matthew, I came to heal. Didn't we have people praying for healing this morning? Healing. You were God touched you, right? You did. Healing. Deliverance from demons was there. And then when you get outside of the physical aspect, when you go through Matthew, he nails the religious people to the wall, right? He says, you can't just be religious here. So he talks about forgiveness and repentance of sin, and then he's all full of mercy, right? Mercy and grace. So all the kingdom work here. So let me just encourage you. Yeah, I want to get to altar so we can pray here. We need to be what? Kingdom seekers. Seek, seek. Seeking has to do with the what? The heart. So if you're not seeking God, you really need to look at your heart. First deals with priorities. If you're spending your time and money and thoughts, your energies, you know, I'm getting older, I only have so much strength. Anybody like me? There's only so much strength, right? I have to apply it and prioritize it so I'm using it for God. All right, so seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you, what? As well. Do you know the verse before that? It says, the pagans run after these things. So what is he saying? You shouldn't have to run after these things like pagans, because I know you need them. God knows us intimately. God knows. Let's stand. Can we just stand, please? Let's bow our heads here. Jesus, we sure love you today. We love you today, Jesus. You've already been moving by your Holy Spirit. We've prayed, but we're going to pray again. We're just going to say, Lord, there's things I just need to talk to you about today. There's things in my life that I've heard today that I can't ignore. And so I just want you to think now what you need to pray over. And, you know, coming to the altar is really half of the battle. Saying, Lord, here I am. You know it anyway. So I want the call to be this. If you're seeking wrong things, or if you're only half seeking, and your attention is elsewhere, I want you to come and pray. Say, God, get a hold of my heart. Get a hold of my heart. Even if you don't come and pray long, I know the time is late. Even if you don't come and pray long, just come by your act of coming, saying, Jesus, this is me. And maybe you have other things first today. Maybe there's other things have your attention. Other things are first in your life. The word hasn't been first. Maybe your marriage hasn't been first. Other things have been driving your priorities. Come and pray. Come and pray. Just even if it's 2 minutes, 5 minutes, what it is, Lord, this is where I want your spirit to move in my life. And maybe you just need to be seeking the right things. Maybe it's kingdom and his righteousness. Maybe you need to seek what is right before him. The worship team is playing. The altar, the prayer warriors are here. Does anybody want to come and pray? You want to come and seek? You want to come put him first? We're here to pray for you. We're here to pray. Hallelujah, Jesus. Anybody, anybody, anybody. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to come and pray? It doesn't be long. The walk to the altar is half of it. Say, yeah, that's me, Lord. That's me. Thank you for this day, Jesus. Thank you for your spirit drawing us. Your Holy Spirit drawing us, Jesus. Help me see.